the question was asked, basically, what are Midrashim? So we have to know that Midrashim date back to the time pre-Talmud. Midrashim existed already back in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. We have Midrashim. Let's define, what are Midrashim? So Midrash literally means something derived. Darush, something derived. It's not something that's overt, but rather something that is derived. You have the text, you have the overt understanding of the text, you have pshat, remez, drush, sod. Drush are the things that are derived. Midrash are the things that have been derived. They're not the things that are overt. Now, when we say Midrash, we usually are referring to the Midrashim, which are the stories, the story part of the tradition. The Midrashim were generally given down in tradition. We have Midrashim about the time of creation. No one was there. How do we know? We have Midrashim about God's conversation with angels before creation. How does that work? We have Midrashim about what existed before that, meaning generations before creation, what was around in the world. Midrashim about that. So Midrashim are things that we have on tradition, generally. Midrashim can seem fantastic. We have Midrashim in the Talmud. The Talmud tells us all kinds of fantastic stories. Some Midrashim were meant to be understood literally. Some Midrashim were meant to give over a message, and they were not meant to be understood literally. That's what Shlomo Amar says in the beginning of Mishle. The words of Mishle, the words of Proverbs, are supposed to give us the wisdom, the understanding. We're supposed to understand when Chazal said something and they meant it literally, when they meant it as an allegory. These are things that develop within a person, and really they come down from tradition. If a person is left to his own understanding, then he could take the Ten Commandments and say, "Ah, it doesn't mean don't kill, it means this. It doesn't mean don't take your friend's wife, it means that." Obviously that's wrong. But a person can make all kinds of mistakes if left to his own interpretation. The Midrashim were stories which held multiple meanings. On the simple level, they kept the congregation focused. Just like I always throw in stories to keep guys interested. So Chazal, when they would give a speech to the masses, they would pepper it, they would spice it up with stories that would keep the masses interested. At the same time, they would want to get all kinds of moral messages across to the congregation through these stories. So they would tell these stories in a way that they would give all kinds of important messages across. But there was a code to understanding Midrashim. The sages knew the code, and when they'd hear a Midrash, when they'd hear the story, they'd understand what was being said in code. And the Midrashim really give us the answers to the deepest secrets of the Torah. The Zohar, Kabbalah, is really a Midrash. The Zohar is all kinds of fantastic stories. That's what the Zohar really is. It's a Midrash. Just like Midrash Rabbah. Only the Zohar, we know, has deep secrets. Well, we have on tradition that also the Midrash Rabbah, all the Midrashim really have deep secrets of the Torah, deep secrets of understanding God's ways of running the world. We don't necessarily have the codes today. Those are things that a person has to have b'kabbalah, in tradition from his Rebbe. When we read it like Namaratzim. We read and we understand the general message. But what the Midrash really means to tell us, what's it encoded, we don't have that tradition. Which Midrashim are to be taken literally and which figuratively is a difficult question that you need a tradition for. In general, yes, some Midrashim are like this and some Midrashim are like that.
Okay, so I'm just supposed to take a different
You have to recognize that we don't know.
Enjoy
the story, get the message. But whether when we crossed the Red Sea, there were literally 13 paths with fruits on the side, and the Jews were looking through the walls and seeing their friends and waving, the way the Midrash describes it, or the Midrash is trying to get across a point, that's something that someone else has to answer. I don't know whether the Midrash means literally. We know there are Midrashim that it would seem are not literal. The Midrash about how they were traveling, and as they were traveling through the sea, they came upon an island, and they got off on the island, and they set up a camp, and they started lighting a fire, and then the island started to move, and they discovered it was this huge, huge fish, and everyone drowned except for Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. I don't think that's to be understood literally.
Were all the Midrashim written at a similar time period?
No.
Were they all written by big rabbis?
So that depends on what you include when you say Midrash. meaning I purposely stuck to the big names. We know there are Midrashic stories in the Talmud, and we know there's the Medrash Rabbah. In the Medrash Rabbah itself, it's unclear whether all five volumes of the Medrash Rabbah were written in the same century. Were they written at the same time by the same people? They do quote Tanoic Midrashim, but when they were written is something that that's really a matter of question. Then you reach other Midrashim, certain Midrashim we have good tradition on. We know they go back to the Tanoic period. Pirkei Rav Eliezer is one of them. Medrash Tanhuma is one of them. Psikta Rav Kahana is one of them. And then you have Midrashim that are very, very late. Midrashim that were written even by Rishonim. You have Midrashim that Rishonim put together the stories. Stories that are primarily found in other Midrashim. Texts that they had access to. And then other things which we're not sure where they got them from. It would seem they got them from tradition. But you have other Midrashim that are not that old. Depends on the Medrash. And that's why it's important to read the introduction to the Medrash.
You suggest reading Midrashim?
I'm a big fan. I think that you guys should be reading the Medrash says. You should get yourself acquainted with the standard Midrashim. It's good stories to tell your children. Instead of reading a novel, you need a break. Take out a Medrash and educate yourself. It's a lot of fun. I was once dating a girl whose father didn't learn that much. And she said, I understand you think you're going to learn. You think every Jew is supposed to learn whenever they have free time during their day? So I said, yes. So she said, what do you mean? Some people aren't built for it. So I said, okay, if a person isn't built for learning Talmud, let him learn a little bit of Halacha, a little bit of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, a little bit of Medrash, a little bit of Tanakh. There's so much in Torah that's not Talmud. So you're not built for Talmud, fine. We could argue that at a different point, whether that's true or not. But even if you say you're not built for it, you're working all day, you only have an hour and a half, you can't put your head into the Daf Yomi Shir. Fine, that's no excuse not to learn the Haftarah, the weekly Parasha, a little bit of Medrash. Every one of us is responsible. And that's where Medrash is very important. It's there's a Medrash that says that the Medrash, the stories of our tradition, are what give us Yiras Shamayim. They're what make us into God-fearing people. The text teaches us the laws. The neshama, whether we'll be a God-fearing person or not, that's based on the stories. The stories move us in that.
Thank you.